Welcome to FinTech Unfiltered, the podcast for bank innovation and INV FinTech. Bank Innovation is an industry-leading blog on digital banking and FinTech, and INV is its sister accelerator. I'm Tatiana Kulkarni, Deputy Editor at Bank Innovation, and I'm here with Jason Brown, co-founder and CEO of Tally. Tally is a FinTech that helps users pay credit card debt. Welcome, Jason.
Thank you, Tatiana. I appreciate you having me.
Yes, excited to see what you have to say. So I think a good place for us to start, Jason, maybe if you could tell our audience, what is Tally and what do you guys do?
Well, Tally has built the first automated debt manager. What that means is that Tally figures out the smartest and the fastest way to pay down your debt and then takes action for you. The key thing to understand about Tally is that it's fully automated. So if you think about a normal fintech app, it has lots of charts and graphs and recommendations and numbers, maybe some ads, things like that. Whereas the Tally home screen is a picture of a person with their feet on the table drinking a cup of coffee. So it's just important to understand that what we've built is totally automated. So the way it works is you download the app for free. You then scan in your credit cards. Finally, once we do a credit check on you, we actually take responsibility for paying all your cards for you, and then you pay Tally. And that allows us to give our customers a couple main benefits. So first is we move all your balances over every day from cards that are getting charged interest that are high APRs and move those over to Tally so that we can give you a lower APR. Secondly, we guarantee that you'll never pay a credit card late fee again. So there are $12 billion of credit card late fees every year, and Tally takes that stress off the table and makes sure that all your cards are paid on time. And then finally, our algorithms, the way that they manage and pay your cards, are able to actually shave about 15 years off of how long it takes to get out of debt. So we're getting people out of debt twice as fast as they would otherwise, and Tally is doing all that work for them. So it's been an exciting process to build the company.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, the data you're dealing with and the work that you put in to achieving that goal is very complex. Can you talk a little bit about how you maintain accuracy and efficiency?
Yeah, so it's probably worth noting two things. So the first is I'm the CEO. I'm not our head of engineering. So I actually personally don't write the code or design the architecture. But I've been very interested in Scala, which is the technology we use, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, from a business perspective for quite some time. And one of the advantages that Tally has is that we actually built all of our technology from scratch, from the ground up. And that gave us the ability, even though it took us over 3 years to do, to build this totally automated system. So the key of building things from scratch is that you can use a modern language like Scala, which allows us to make sure things that are done correctly, that they're done in the right order, and that nothing fails along the way. And so clearly, when you're trying to deliver to customers full automation, that level of precision and accuracy is really important.
Interesting. And as opposed to Scala, is Java the counterpart or the other option?
What's really interesting about Scala is that it's a modern programming language, but it actually runs on the JVM, which stands for the Java Virtual Machine. So it's actually part of the Java ecosystem. So it's this modern language that we can talk about more, some of those advantages. But it still inherits all of the attributes from the Java ecosystem. So it's, believe it or not, it's used by companies like Tally, which are obviously startups, all the way along to companies like Amazon and Twitter. So Scala has been adopted by a wide range of companies.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And what are some of the advantages and business benefits of using Scala?
You know, there's quite a few, but if I were to think of the top three, I'd say number one is that Scala makes Tally less prone to errors. So every language has two key steps. So first you compile and then you run. What's interesting about Scala is before a program runs, the compiler actually reads the program and verifies that what is written makes sense. So essentially, it's able to confirm that our assumptions about like all these complex operations and values meet our expectations. So that's the first advantage. The second advantage is that Scala has something called type safety, and this allows for better and faster testing. So Scala, the type safety, allows us to discover errors while we're actually writing the code, not after we run it. And, you know, this is really necessary when you're trying to ensure that the high quality and accuracy that you need for financial applications in general, and especially automated ones. So that means that we don't have to worry about, losing really important attributes while it's in real time. We identify those things while we're actually writing the code or when it compiles, not when, you know, it's actually alive, moving money around and making decisions. And then the third final benefit is that Scala does let Tally inherit all the benefits of the JVM. So the Java ecosystem has been around for decades, and it is a hardened and tested technological ecosystem that has been through the ringer, so to speak. And so when it comes to stability, when it comes to security, it's really hard to compete with that kind of robustness. And so you're able to have all of those kind of traditional serious benefits. And then on top of that, you now have this modern language that allows you to do all these things that would otherwise be very, very hard. So it's kind of the benefits of both worlds.
Interesting. So is Scala, would it be accurate to describe Scala as, an extra layer of language sitting on top of the Java ecosystem?
That's correct. So it literally runs on the JVM. So that is an accurate description. So it's a modern language that's running on the JVM.
So just in terms of a company, I know Tally uses Scala as we talked about. But if I'm a fintech or if I'm a challenger bank, how do I go about switching to Scala? Is it even advisable that I do?
You know, it's obviously much easier when you're in the position that Tally was, where we got to start from scratch. So we had this blank canvas, and we got to make this decision to, you know, build everything the way we wanted to. If it's a bank that already has, you know, established code base and team, it's going to be very difficult. But one potential approach to do it is to identify some distinct feature or product that can be built outside of the existing code base. And what the engineering team would need to do is, once you've identified this isolated feature or product, is either find somebody internally who's a real champion of Scala and understands the technology and how to leverage it, or hire somebody from the outside to champion and lead that project. And then obviously, once you get some engineers from the rest of the organization working on that project and learning actually how Scala works and the benefits and the trade-offs, from there, the organization can evaluate how well it fits into what they're trying to do. And the company may find that, you know, they're not only having this growing group of internal advocates for leveraging Scala, but also that it's allowing them to do new things. And then from there, you can build a more and more products that are kind of like outside your existing code base. And I guess at some point in the distant future, it could all converge. But that's one potential way of exploring it.
Very cool. And, you know, lastly, do you think the future of banking solutions is in cloud?
It really depends. So for fintechs, I would say yes. To give this some context, we started writing our first lines of code in early 2015. And believe it or not, at that time, there was no PCI-compliant cloud-based solution. We talked to Amazon for Amazon Web Services, and they said, look, in the next couple of months, our PCI-compliant solution will be ready. And so we believed them, and we said, okay, cool, we're going to start to build in the cloud on AWS with the assumption that by the time we're ready to actually have real data in these databases, that it will be PCI compliant. And Amazon delivered on that that projection and had their PCI compliant solution on track. But at the time, Google didn't have one. Microsoft Azure didn't have one. And now all the big cloud providers all have PCI compliant solutions, and they continue to build more and more tools and features that are necessary for financial applications. So my view is that you completely can build entire banking systems in the cloud as Tally has done, and I think that's where all startups will be. But existing banks, my guess is that, you know, they will continue to run their legacy bank core systems on their own hardware internally. A lot of these systems use very antiquated languages, and it's, you know, at the end of the day, they want to keep all that hardware under their own control. But they may be using cloud services for ancillary aspects of what the bank does and consumer-facing features. So I think for existing banks, we're going to see a hybrid of what their core banking systems stay in-house, but a lot of those peripheral things may be living in the cloud.
Very interesting. And do you have any prediction for 2019 on what's going to be a big trend or might be something to pay attention to in this regard?
You know, and this is biased, because the way that we view the world is that it's automation or bust. That, you know, what has led fintech in the past has been more around experience and features and mobile first. But the existing legacy banks are catching up and very, very effectively following and replicating those experiences. That 2019 and beyond is really about going from, you know, making recommendations and tracking things to actually taking over entire financial jobs for people. And that automation, autonomous finance, is really where the future is headed. So from our perspective, we are eagerly focused on launching more and more products that eventually will do all of the financial and thinking and work for the average American. And, you know, I don't know if it will completely come to fruition in 2019, but clearly that's where the world is headed.
Jason, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you to all our listeners for tuning in.